As we continue this morning, we continue in the series of messages of our mission statement. Last couple of weeks, we talked about knowing Christ, and our goal and our heart's desire is that you come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. We don't want you to have a religious opinion. We don't want you to have a religious practice. We want you to have a personal relationship with Christ, because therein lies the only hope that we have for eternal life, the only authority, the only source that can give us the forgiveness of sin and give us eternal life. And as you were challenged today, as we have envisioned ourselves holding those sins that we are most ashamed of, but come to the realization of that as we pour that into the cup of Christ, that Christ bore that cup. You know, it's interesting that so many things and fables and things that go around about Jesus and being on the cross, that there's all these things and relics and things that we think about. In reality, the greatest value was the fact that Jesus took our sin upon himself. The most grotesque things that we could even possibly think of that has happened in this world and on this earth and is yet to happen. You just read the book of Revelation, it'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck to realize the things that we see today are kids and child's play compared to what's coming, when Satan is actually bound to this earth for an amount of time and he knows his time is short, and with the fervor and the violence that he's going to work in destroying everything he possibly can. And to think of the sin and debauchery that's yet to come and that we've already seen, Jesus took every bit of that upon himself. Jesus didn't come in and just kind of dabble his toe in our sin and look at it and see how disgusting it was. But he dove in and he drank it. He who knew no sin became sin for us. It's a humbling reality, isn't it? It's a life-changing reality to realize that Jesus, when he came, he reminded us over and over in his teaching that he didn't come to just bring credit to himself to be served and worship, but he came to serve. Well, who did he come to serve? First of all, he came to serve the Father. When we see the triune Godhead at work, we see God the Father sends his only begotten Son. His Son arrives, the very Word of God arrives and begins to teach and instruct us, but he comes to fulfill every word of prophecy. Why? Because he is the Word. He could do nothing less but to honor himself, the very Word that he was, as the Word of God. Now think of the earth-changing realities of what happened when Jesus came to this planet. He wasn't just another man. And I don't know about you, but I grip my teeth when I hear people just say, well, he was just another pastor, you know, a teacher, another prophet. He was a good man. My friend, it goes much deeper than that. And that is why we have salvation, because he was not like us. Because he is greater. He is God. And so when he come to serve the Father and fulfilled everything perfectly. But what was it that actually brought us justification? It wasn't just the fact that he looked at that cup and seen the sin that was there and just say, we're just going to forget about this. Then he would no longer be a just God. He no longer could stand in judgment over all things. But because he took it upon himself, but that he bore our sins. Isaiah lays it out very clearly. He didn't just do it by proxy. He just didn't say, we're gonna hide that under the spiritual rug in heaven somewhere, and we're just gonna hide that. But he bore that sin for us. That means he took the punishment, he took the shame, he took the suffering that was ours to take. He suffered all of it. Now, I don't believe in a limited atonement. I do not believe in that. I believe in 1 John chapter 2. He says that he was a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means that he is the payment for our sin. He paid for it. He didn't pay it with a credit card. He actually paid it. Amen? He's not making payments. It's done. But then it goes on to say that he's propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Do you understand that, folks? He even bore the sin of those who would reject him. So that when they stand before God the Father, when they stand before the Lord Jesus, and they give an account of themselves, they're not going to say, well, God, you didn't love me, because he did. He said, I sent my son to die for you, and he did die for you. The only thing that will send you hell to a place called hell is your own decision to reject Jesus. Jesus isn't looking to send you. He's looking to save you. And he's done everything that is necessary to do that. And so now it's up to you to surrender your life and to trust in him, to trust in the finished work of the cross. And then we're going to live for him. So how do we live for him? We live for him fully. Now I want to go ahead and let's read what we have on our mission statement for living Christ. Now I hope that you've got those handouts, got them stuck up somewhere. Did you go home and put them up somewhere that you can see it each day, our mission statement? Good, I'm seeing lots of you did your homework. If I got a star, I'll give you one. You got a happy smiley face for the day. I want you to be aware of these. I want you to be able to answer. I want you to get excited about what's going on here at Lindsay Lane. And can I ask you today, after our music service, how can you not get excited about what God's doing? The Bible calls on Christians to be actively engaged in growing and maturing. Sanctification is a progressive outworking of the grace that is in every believer and is a lifelong endeavor. Living the Christian life is made possible through the Word, the Spirit of God, and as believers kindly care for one another, every aspect of the Christian's life is to be done to the glory of who? God. You know, as we are reminded of this today, and as I, as your pastor, I don't want you to hold on to the mission statement and say, this is everything. But this is why we include scripture verses into our mission statement, because therein lies the authority, God's Word. Okay? We organize and we structure things to remind us of what God is wanting us to do. But the authority lies within the Word of God. So let's read Romans chapter 14, verse 19. And as I take this verse, I'm going to backtrack a little bit in Romans 14 and give you the context of what we're pulling out here. And as we do, of why it's there. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, he says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Now, you know, as we get into this, I want you to think for a moment. What is the things that pursue and make for peace? Well, he gives it to us here in chapter 14. Now, the book of Romans is written to believers as they were coming up and growing in Christ. He's revealing to them the grace that they have received, and he gives us, Paul gives us a great deal of theology in this, and how that we rest in Christ and in Christ alone. But then what do we do with those freedoms? This is one of the things that is the most glorious realities of those that were living in Rome. The believers that were under the Roman law was a very oppressive, is a very difficult place to live. In fact, under the Roman law, you were supposed to recognize the leaders and those that were in rule and reign. In fact, many of them wanted to be claimed as deity. And so there's a lot of things in Roman history that we find it was very oppressive and very difficult to be a believer. Many of the pagan practices were very heavily against living for Christ. And so coming to Lord Jesus, one would think that, well, you're just signing yourself a death sentence. But yet Paul says, don't be discouraged, because in reality, you are set free. You've been given the liberty to do any and all things. Now, that's not the liberty to sin, but you've been given liberty that you're free from sin, right? You're free that you no longer are a slave to sin. Now you're a slave to Christ. Now in our day and age, anytime you say slave, they're going to cringe and say, I don't want anything to do with that. But can I tell you, there's no greater glory than to be a slave of Christ? There's no greater freedom than to be a child of God. There's no more love, there's no more joy that could ever be had than to be a follower of Jesus. But may I remind you, it will cost you everything. But can I encourage you? And when you meet Jesus, you will gladly give it all, because you found the pearl of great price. You remember that parable? Man went into a country and he found a pearl. Now, it's weird to me that he found it in the middle of a field. I'm not sure quite how that works out. But he went back home and he sold everything he had so that he could purchase that field because of that one pearl of great price. You know why he says great? Because it was great in value. When you find Jesus, you're willing to give it all up. But yet in the process, the Lord says, when we give it all, then we've gained it all in him. Amen? Isn't God just incredible in how that he truly loves us and how he works? What is it that pursues peace? Well, here we've got believers in the church. Newfound freedoms. I'm free from sin. I'm walking in faith. We're having a great time in the Lord. But then the so-and-so brother over here is doing things and eating things that were sacrificed to idols that I've been set free from. I'm not real happy about that, and I'm going to go tell him. And it sounds like us sometimes, doesn't it? We get upset about things. We get offended by things. Well, I'm mad. What do we do with this? Well, one may say, well, I've got the freedom and liberty to do whatever I want, so they can just get over it. Or one may say that, well, I have the freedoms to do what I want to do, and whatever it costs you doesn't matter to me. That's your problem, not mine. And I'm going to take what I want. Does any of that sound like what God would have us do? I hope you say no. Is that what we see and we are tempted to do in the world? Yes, right? That's why we have the phrase dog-eat-dog world, right? We beat somebody else down so I can have. But here's the reality. When we live for Christ, we live from the bottom up. Amen? And let me show you why. They have all of these new freedoms. But then we see that we are to esteem one over the other. In fact, he says that even in the mixturing of some of the Jews, they would look at some days and hold them in high esteem. Well, the Gentiles, they weren't raised with any of that, so they don't understand the traditions of the Jews. And so they're at conflict to say, well, you should recognize this day. Well, we've been taught that. We don't know what you're talking about. Well, I can't believe you're not a good Christian if you don't do this and this and this. And the Bible says, but wait a minute. What is it that we should be seeking? We should be seeking to build each other up. And thus is the word in our text, verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. There's so many things that we get opinionated about which really doesn't have any meaning whatsoever in eternity. Amen? And in fact, sometimes we, even in the time of sharing the gospel, we get so centered on things that we can control that we tend to push others away from the gospel of Christ because we fail to show what Jesus has already done. Amen? What does edification mean? It means that we build one another up. Do you understand what building is? Building doesn't happen by being a spectator. I'm sure you've all been there. You've been at work. The boss has laid out exactly what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and there's usually about one or two that's doing it, and the other five are just watching. Are you with me? Every workplace that you'll ever go on this planet, you're going to find it. There are some that will do more to get out of work than if they just did it and were finished. I had some kids that way. But can I tell you, we trained them well, and they work hard. They really do. They work hard. They take care of themselves. And I'm proud of that. But you know what's even more a blessing to the Lord? Is when God's people are living and working on their own. We're building each other up. The act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. Oh, we got to be happy and do it too? It helps. I've worked with some that they were just a joy to work with. And I learned so much. And I've worked with some that they just browbeat me the whole time, and I went home hating myself. But I learned a lot. It's tough sometimes, isn't it? But you know what? The joy that we bring together comes from Christ. But here's what we need to notice is that in Romans chapter 14, I'm going to pick on verses 7 and 9. None of us lives to himself. There's nothing that I cringe more than the phrase that we use, a self-made man or a self-made woman. Because if we were truly honest, none of us have done anything for ourselves but what God has allowed us or give us the wisdom to do. You know, when I pray with many of you before you're going to go in the hospital or go to the doctor, I thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for all the advancements. And man, we can look inside our bodies and all of those things. And it's amazing what we can do. Lord, thank you for allowing us to do that. But I know exactly when it comes to healing, only you can do that. Even with all the advancements that we have. I'm thankful for those things, but we understand is that none of us live to ourselves. But look at what else it goes on and says. And no one dies to himself. You're going to meet your creator. It's not just you lay down and it's all over and you go back to the... You're going on. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Now, I want you to recognize that he is writing to believers. Okay? If you're going to die in Christ, you first must be born in Christ. And I'm talking about salvation. Romans chapter 6. So if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, he said, okay, now to bring this all to a conclusion, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, and that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Do you understand, my friend, is that we are not to follow our own pleasures and our own inclinations. We belong to God, and so therefore, we follow him. Amen? We follow his plan. We follow his design. We are the property of Christ. I like that. Don't you? Do you have something that's just real special to you? I had a pocket watch that I got from my grandpa. It's not much. It's so wore out from him carrying it for years. A lot of the gold is kind of rubbed off on the back. And it was just something that was so valuable. And I had a special box that my grandma bought me. And I kept the watch in that box because I liked the box. And that was special to me too. And believe it or not, you know, and this is embarrassing, but we were kids. But I had my room in the basement. It was real long. Went all the way across the width of the basement. And I got the bright idea that when my friends come over, I had one of those Nerf soccer balls that we opened the closet on one end of the room. And then we set up a couple shelves on the other end of the room. And that was one goal and that was the other. And we played soccer in my room, and I broke every trophy. I broke every picture I had in that house. But, you know, every time that they would come over, I'd take that little box and my little keepsake, and I'd put it back somewhere to where nothing could touch it because it was the most prized possession that I had. Child of God, do you realize that Jesus has you in a very special place? Not on a shelf, but in his heart, guarding it. Watching all that you do, all that you say. And you know what? I want you to think about something for a moment, that the fact of where we are in him can either bring him great pleasure or heavy sadness, because he has us in his heart. All that we do, all that we say, everywhere we go, all that we do, we live to him. We live for him. Folks, we are on a spiritual journey that requires us to follow him. But more than that, lean upon him. And the only way that we can do so is that we lean upon the authority of who he is. When we live, we do so in such a way that brings power into our lives, that brings joy into our lives, that brings purpose into our lives, so that when everything around us falls apart, we do not, because we have purpose. We have a foundation. We have a plan that God has already laid out before us. Church, I want us to think about something this morning. We've heard from a testimony of one of our own. And she's our own, wouldn't you agree? She is our own. And David is too. But I want to remind you of something. It was said this morning also that somebody had a grandson. And they had a count of about 10. And they said, no, I've got 9. Can I tell you, you still got 10. Because when we lose those that we love, because of what Jesus has done, we live to him. And whether we live or we die, we're his. And those that we watch go on before us, death never touched them. Do you realize that? We look and the body is gone and they're gone and we think it's all over, but it's not over. They've graduated. And all the pain that we feel, they don't. With all the regret that we're struggling with, they don't. But as a child of God, death never touched him. You know why? Because the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because a victory has already been won. Whether we live or we die, we're his. Do you know that you're his? You can clear that up today. If you got questions or you got doubts, oh, it will give us great joy. Pastor Mike, he's always right here on the front row. You can come and talk to him. Come and pray with him. I'm right here. We'll spend time with you as much as you need. We would love to answer that question. Child of God, I want to ask you, are you living? Do you feel like you're just kind of out on your own, trying to do your own thing? Do I need to remind you where you are? You're in the heart of Christ. You're in a precious place. You're in a special place, guarded, supported, cared for, and empowered to do all that he has called you to do. He's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. Are we going to live? Are we going to really live? Or are we just going to, just trying to make it from day to day? But can I remind you, we're going to have those days. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to look up, because he doesn't have those days. Only we do. And he's waiting to draw us back home to that special place and remind you who you are and then say, child, live. I'm going to pray for you. This is going to be our dismissal, but I still give you the invitation. You've got question. You've got special prayer. Sometimes I feel like in the invitation, you feel like, oh, we got to hurry. It's about time to go. If I move, then, oh, everybody's going to go, oh, great, we can't leave now. So I'm trying to remove that, okay? Lunch will wait. And if your ride doesn't wait, I'll take you home, okay? But I'm still telling you, if you got a need you don't want to leave here with without getting an answer, you come to me, you come to Pastor Mike, and we'll pray with you. We'll encourage you in the Word. Let's bow our heads together, church. Father, as we come before you today, where we want to live, we don't want to just live the life that's laid out in front of us here in this world. We've all got house payments. We all got car payments. We got bills. We got difficulties. We got limited income. We got all these things that we struggle with, but yet we're reminded that that simply is not living. What our living is living in you, living in and close to your heart. All that we do, all that we say is for you. It's through you, and it's because of you. And Lord, the real power, the joy that we hunger and desire each and every day is found when we spend time in you. So Lord, I'm asking you, when I say live, I'm asking you to help us to live in you. You've already given us all that we need through your Son, Jesus. It's just us coming to claim that, to rest in that, to rely upon that. So, Lord, we've been given the challenge that as we come together, as a church body, we are pursuing all things that will bring about peace. But let us begin to build on one another, not just sitting by as a spectator, but that we're building and working on each other, and we're sharing the glories that we have discovered in you, that we continue to see new and greater things of your word and your truths, and we can't wait to get back and share it with one another once again. We live in a world that has very little to no hope. But Lord, don't let us be that way. Let us know the life that you give. Let us experience in every part of our lives, in every stage of life, the life that you give, that others may see, not us, but they may see you and come to know you as their Savior. Father, I pray for your church. I pray that you will strengthen and help us to continue to grow in a deeper knowledge and understanding of who you are. Give us boldness to respond to the conviction you've laid on our hearts today that we'll not leave this place until we make it right. And give us those steps that we will carry out throughout the week. Lord, we love you. You bless your people as we return to the mission field today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.